inaction is an action. Meaning, if you're choosing not to act, there is a why anchoring you to that decision as well. Instead of the why that motivates you to change, that motivates you to move forward, what I think is equally important to investigate is the less talked about why that you're not. And when you see that, it's not as simple as just doing the right thing, it's about understanding the why behind why you do the wrong thing. Because the wrong things are the things that keep us stuck. Welcome to the Happy, Healthy Human Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Levitin. What do the happiest, healthiest humans all have in common? They are students of success. And my mission to help both you and I become the happiest, healthiest humans we can be, I have studied success at all levels. And after spending over a decade working in the field of human development and flourishing, I can tell you with certainty, success leaves clues. On this show, I investigate and explore the common clues and foundational principles that tie together success in all areas of life. Whether it's happiness, health, wealth, relationships, it's all a part of the human experience. By following these success clues and understanding the underlying success principles, you will find that success is not simply a possibility, it's guaranteed. Every Tuesday, I give you simple, straightforward action steps and tools using these clues and principles of success to help you become the happiest, healthiest human you can be. Today's clue is the why behind the what. It's quite possible that you've heard before the now extremely common advice of finding your why. When it comes to really any goal that we're trying to pursue, creating any change, this is where everyone says to start. Doesn't matter if you're building a business, getting rich, starting to exercise and eat healthy, starting therapy. The question that's going to be asked of you by most skilled practitioners is why? Why does this matter? What is driving your desire to make this change? And this was popularized through Simon Sinek's extremely famous book titled Start With Why. And this concept has been talked about on TED Talks, podcasts, books, blogs, masterminds, literally everywhere. And I'm not poking fun, because if you scroll all the way back hundreds and hundreds of episodes to the very first episode of this podcast, you'll see it's literally titled Start With Why. Because even though the advice of find your why is almost cliche at this point, it still is true. It stands the test of time. Life is already hard, and creating change in life is even harder. If you don't have a strong reason to go about creating that specific change, then there's a high chance that you're going to crumble and give up when one of life's many hardships presents itself to you. So finding your why refers to having a strong reason behind the undertaking. And a cause or a reason that you're working towards can help to make all of that hard work feel more worthwhile. Usually, what we're looking for is something deeper than the surface level stuff that people tend to start out with. So, for instance, you might say that you want to start a business to become rich and successful. So, quote unquote, becoming rich might be a goal, but that's very surface level. That's not a deep why. Why does being rich matter? What happens when you're rich? What changes about your life? So by going deeper, you can find something more meaningful to latch onto. And that's important because everyone wants to be rich. I call these magic wand goals. These are things that if you could wave a magic wand and just have them, you'd definitely accept it. Who wouldn't want to be rich, fit, happy, successful, whatever else? If someone could give it to you, you would accept it. But these aren't really goals as much as they're just nice ideas. I mean, yeah, being rich is a great idea. Being fit and happy, I mean, I love that for you. But how do you actually get there? Your why digs into what achieving these goals would actually unlock for you. like I said, everyone wants to be rich. If you're given the option of be rich or be broke, probably going to choose the money route. But the reality is those aren't the options you're choosing between. The real options are maybe remain broke, which is easy because you're already broke. Doesn't take any extra time, any extra effort. And if you choose that option, then you've already succeeded. So you have guaranteed one. Or the second option is to try to work towards something you don't have. You might build a business, which is uncertain. It's challenging. And the success is far from guaranteed. You're going to have to grind through bullshit and endless tasks and long days and no weekends. And it's going to take years, maybe decades of hard work. Maybe your social life will suffer. You're definitely going to have more stress. There's going to be a million other obstacles that are going to pop up. Some you might be able to think of right now. Some you wouldn't even be able to foresee until you're doing it. And that's the real choice you're making. Do you stick with what you already have, which is easy, or do you go after the unknown and potentially get something amazing, but also potentially fail or a million other things in between? So when you think about it that way, the end result of being rich may or may not be enough to actually get you to go, to move, to act. And if we look around, we see that it's probably not for most people, since most people are choosing option A over option B every day, just by the virtue of living your life how it is, rather than striving for change, you are accepting that life. And that's okay. There's no one saying you have to change. However you want to live your life is completely up to you. But if you do want to create change, and you do want to build that business, then you need something that is going to motivate you to keep going through all of those negative aspects that I just mentioned. And like I said, if simply having more money or being rich was enough of a motivation, then you would have done it already. If that were enough to get us going, we'd already be rich. Similarly, if being hot and sexy were enough motivation to exercise, everyone would be fit. We all want those things, but that's not a real motivation. So what do the people who actually succeed in these areas do? Well, the reality is all of the people who find true financial success have to go deeper. They find a reason, a why, that is more than just money. They start to think not just about having the money, but what will happen when they have it? What will the money mean to them? What will it do? So when it comes to more money, a quote-unquote why could be a better quality of life for you and your family. It could be the change you could create in the world through philanthropy. Maybe the amount of time and resources you'd be able to have later in life and not working into your 60s, 70s, and 80s. It doesn't really matter what the why is. Again, that's a personal question. But the point is, it's deeper than just, I want more money. It's, what will this money do for me? How will it make my life better? Because when the time gets tough, which they always will, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, we will often give up on those surface level goals. Again, everyone wants more money, and then when shit hits the fan, we go, okay, screw this. But when you're thinking about the change you could make for your kids or your parents, the change you can make in the world, how much better your life would be when you don't have to work 8 or 10 hour days and you can relax somewhere, that deeper why is something you can lean on, and those connections will keep you going on the path that you've set out on, even when the path is rocky or bumpy. And say that doesn't work, you can just keep going deeper. Why do you want to provide a better quality of life for your family? Why does building enough wealth to give generously matter to you? You just keep pulling on that thread. Why? 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 You keep peeling back the layers. You keep digging. And eventually, you will get to some level of deep, real motivation. I mean, or you won't. And if that's the case, probably better you did all of this as a thought experiment and you can quit before you ever even get started, rather than finding yourself a year into some goal that you really never cared about in the first place. That's the whole importance of finding your why. Your why serves as your anchor. It is the lighthouse that keeps you moving toward your destination, even when the seas get stormy, even when you can't see 5 feet in front of you because of rain and thunder and clouds. So while it has become sort of cliche at this point, it's one of those things that is cliche for good reason. If it's overhyped or over talked about, it's only because it is so important that it deserves to be spoken about ad nauseum. To this day, Start With Why, my very first episode, is still my most listened to, most shared, most popular episode. The numbers don't lie. So if you haven't heard it before, or you heard it a long time ago, like when this podcast first came out, I'm going to link it in the show notes so you can listen if you want. Give me some slack because it was my very first episode and the quality and sound and editing wasn't quite there yet. But again, I stand on the content. But as important as it is to find your why, there's another why that I've been thinking a lot about lately that I feel is equally, if not more important, but is far less talked about. Your why that I've talked about up until now is your motivation. It's your guiding light. It's your reason for going up against the Goliath that is major life change. I'll call that your forward-facing why. The other why that I want to discuss is the opposite side of that coin. Instead of the why that motivates you to change, that motivates you to move forward, what I think is equally important to investigate is the less talked about why that you're not. You know why you want to get healthy. It's what you're supposed to do. It's for your kids, for your family, for your quality of life. Your doctor tells you all the time. Your spouse tells you. Everyone, everywhere tells you that you should be eating healthy and exercising. So the question isn't why. It's why are you not doing it? Because behind every choice and every action, there is a why. There is a reason. It's always there. Sometimes it's buried, hidden deep, but it's there. Because as humans, we don't take any action for no reason. And the reality is, inaction is an action. Inaction is an action. It's a mouthful. Meaning, if you're choosing not to act, there is a why anchoring you to that decision as well. And this might seem obvious, but the question then becomes, why don't I change? Well, we know because change is hard. Duh. Why don't I exercise? Why don't I start a business? Do these questions even need answers? I mean, again, it seems obvious. I said already that given the choice between action and inaction, our natural choice will always be towards inaction. That's not laziness or lack of want. It's just natural selection. We are evolved to choose safety and certainty over the unknown. We are evolved to save energy whenever possible and only expend extra energy if it's absolutely necessary. So with those two things, it becomes extremely obvious why we choose to stay stuck rather than to take action towards some big grand goal. And yet for all of that natural, animal, biological order inside of our head that tells us just toe the line, stick with the status quo, accept what we have. On the opposite side of that, we also have directly opposing feelings. We want to accomplish. We seek to strive. We want to build and grow, to flourish. We want to finish our lives with more than we started with. Part of this comes from our drive for social status, which is also a survival mechanism. We are pack animals, and for pack animals, climbing up the social hierarchy, directly correlates to a better chance of survival. A close cousin to the baboon is the mandrill. You might not know the name, but you'd know one if you saw one. It looks kind of like a baboon, but it's more colorful because the male mandrill has evolved to have bright blue, yellow, and red stripes on its fur, on its face, and on its butt. And this coloring shows the females who is the best mate, shows them which male will give them the strongest offspring. Those offspring then breed and have brighter, more colorful fur, and the cycle continues. For humans, we don't have a direct visible sign that we wear on our bodies to show our place in the social hierarchy. Social status for us is much more nuanced. The more advanced we get as a species, the farther away we get from these natural measures of status like physical size and strength. The need to understand where we lie in a social hierarchy has not gone away though, and because of that, we still strive to rise in the ranks. So whether it's proving your parents wrong and showing them that you can become successful despite having wasted all their money on that art degree, or whether it's getting a promotion and climbing the corporate ladder from intern to vice president, doesn't really matter. The point is that it fills a need inside of us to raise our social status. And that translates into a feeling of more safety and security. And then on top of that, we also feel good accomplishing things. there's a chemical that's produced by our body known as serotonin. It gets talked about a lot in the media because of its link to our positive feelings. And although serotonin is linked to positive feelings, it's also important to understand where it comes from. Where it comes from meaning what causes it to be created, not where it comes from in the body. Serotonin makes us feel good, but our body produces serotonin in response to feeling a sense of accomplishment or recognition. And we can pretty easily understand why our body would have this mechanism, because I talked at length about our natural human predisposition towards inaction and saving energy. And if that's all there was, we'd simply just lie around all day waiting for death or our next meal, kind of like a sloth. But that's not the case. And that's because serotonin makes us feel good and our brain craves it. And to get more of it, it pushes us towards challenge and effort, and it gets us moving in search of the feeling of accomplishment and recognition that will give us another boost of those happy chemicals. And that's the dance. You might have heard the old Native American parable of the two wolves. If you haven't heard it, I'll just lay it out for you super quickly here. As the story goes, an old Cherokee grandpa is teaching his grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he says to the boy. "And it's a fight between two wolves. One is evil. It's anger, it's envy, it's sorrow, regret, all the bad things, it's ego." And then he continues, "The other is good. It's joy, it's peace, it's love, it's hope, it's kindness, it's faith. And the same fight is going on inside you and every person." And the grandson asks, "Well, which wolf will win?" And the grandpa says, "The one that you feed." And I love that story. It's a good lesson. Where you focus your energy, that will grow. Where you focus your attention, that will grow. I agree. But I think the battle inside of us is not between two wolves, but rather two dogs. The dogs we have as pets today are far removed from their wolf ancestors, just as we are far removed from our more primitive ancestors. I love dogs. I've always had dogs. I grew up with dogs. I just love them. They're the best. And in my 20s, I lived with my sister and we had two boxers, Lexi and Tyson. They were amazing dogs. I really love these guys, but they couldn't have been more different in terms of personality. Lexi was just a big mush. She just slept and she snored. She'd lay in your lap and that was it. She was content to just be there, get pet, get food, and just be a cuddle puddle. And you know, that's all we ever wanted of her. So it was amazing. Tyson, on the other hand, was different. He was full of energy and his one mission was to serve. He would fetch, he would wait for commands. He was an anxious dog, always shaking, hovering by your side, waiting for instructions. And these are the dogs that we have inside of us. We all have a Lexi, who is content to do nothing more than the bare minimum. Keep me fed and leave me be. It's all I need. I'm content with that. And then we have Tyson, eager to please, eager to go above and beyond. Tyson seeks to accomplish and strive, and he wants the rewards that await him at the end of the task. So which one wins? It is, as old grandpa said, the one that you feed. And that's why mindset and perspective and all the stuff that we're talking about on this show is so important. Your personal growth, understanding human nature, digging into these success principles, this is how you start to feed Tyson, the striving side of you. But you have to remember that it's not a fair fight. The lazy dog has a natural leg up. Because although your brain and body do have mechanisms that reward you for striving for more, those mechanisms only have the capacity to activate when the deeper needs of safety are met inside of you. And that means the lazy, stay the same drive is stronger than the get up and go drive. Again, this is just nature. So having your well thought out and deeply defined why is feeding your accomplishment and striving dog. It gives more fuel to the fight to fight back against your inclination to be lazy. But this is why we also have to investigate the why not side of things, because why not feeds the lazy dog? And why not is the ammunition that you will use to talk yourself out of doing the thing. It's the justification that you're so good at coming up with for why you can't do X, Y, or Z, why you can't take the action, why you can't honor the commitment, why you can push it off, why you can delay it, why you can edit it. So the key, because that's always going to be there, is to get out ahead of it. In psychotherapy, there's a concept that goes name it, claim it, tame it. Putting a name to something can be freeing. For instance, understanding that your negative floods of emotions are not just you being crazy, but due to fluctuations in the chemicals in your brain from clinical depression, once you understand, oh, this is that, now you have an opportunity to say, again, I'm not just crazy, this is a real thing. And when you can name it, you can claim it, you can own it, and eventually you can tame it, which is figure out a solution. But this isn't only for therapy, and it's not only for mental illness. You can name and tame all of your negative habits. So say you want to start eating healthier. You have a deep-seated why. You look at your kids and you think, I need to be here when they grow up. I want to be healthy and strong for them, and even their kids. I mean, whys don't get much deeper than that. And yet we know that most people have kids, and most people are still overweight and unhealthy. So clearly, having a why isn't enough to spur action in all of these circumstances. Then, do the opposite. Ask yourself, why not? If you have such a meaningful reason to do the thing, the fact that you're not doing it must mean that you have a real connection to this negative habit that you're so desperately holding on to. So when I do this activity with my clients around eating, there's a few similar culprits that always pop up. You want to eat healthy, and healthy eating looks like this. But every time you commit to eating healthy, that happens. Why is that? And they say, well, it's emotional eating or stress eating. Great. Now we have a name. Now we know what we're up against. That's the important thing. Your why for doing the thing, your why for eating healthy, doesn't erase the why of not doing the thing, the stress relief you get, the distraction you get from the emotion. And it's important to understand that the why of a negative is always a positive. Your brain does not do anything purposely to hurt you. Even things that play out as a negative or look like self-sabotage in the long run come from your brain doing what it perceives in that moment to be the best thing for you. Because everything you do benefits you in the moment. The thing that your brain is concerned with is what benefits you right now, right here, in this moment. Not what will benefit you in the long term, 10 years from now, or your whole life. So what does emotional eating get you? Well, again, it comes back to evolution. Emotional eating is there for a reason. It's to keep you safe. It is the known. It is the lazy dog. It's a momentary release or a distraction. Personally, when my clients say that they eat for stress relief, I always stop them. There is no stress relief that comes from eating. It's a distraction. The stress that you had, whether it's your spouse, your kids, your job, the economy, whatever else, is still going to be there once you're done eating. So choosing our words is important here as well. Eating junk food doesn't actually relieve your stress. It just takes your mind off of it for a sliver of time. It doesn't actually keep you safe. It doesn't actually do anything positive in the long run. But sometimes that slight distraction for 5 minutes is enough to have your brain say, this is the right choice for me right now. And when you see that, it's not as simple as just doing the right thing, it's about understanding the why behind why you do the wrong thing. Because the wrong things are the things that keep us stuck. Now, you know what to do to change your life positively. You probably know all of the good things that would come along with those changes. You know about eating healthy, exercising, meditating, reading, all of the things that you want to do, and you know why they're good for you. Every what has a why. Everything you do comes from somewhere. The more you can understand the why behind your actions, be them positive or negative, the better chance you will have to create positive change that you're striving for. So my action step for you this week is to investigate the why behind the negative actions that you're taking. Then use the name it, claim it, tame it framework to start to move past. When you don't work out, when you keep scrolling, when you eat the junk food that you swore off in the new year, ask, what is the positive that I'm getting out of this? Once you name it, you can claim it. Often it's an avoidance of something else. When you emotionally eat, you're avoiding a stressful feeling. When you skip a workout, you're avoiding the negative feeling of the stress of the workout, of feeling sore or whatever else. Own it, realize that, and then accept the struggle. Own that negative action, although it does have a positive, it is helping you avoid stress in that moment, it is helping you stay away from soreness or whatever it is keeping you stuck. It's serving you in that moment, but in the long run, it is not. And then you can tame it. And to do that, you search for a solution that the negative action is getting you and look for it from a positive source. For instance, if emotional eating is a distraction from a stress, what else could distract you that would not be a negative, but a net positive? So instead of eating junk food to distract you from stress, which distracts you in the moment but harms your health in the long run, what about reading or meditating or walking or running or doing push-ups or calling a friend? All of these would also be distractions from the stress, but they would have a net positive effect. Everything has a why. When you investigate the why behind your negative actions, you can start to find more positive actions to replace them with. That's it for today. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode or got value from it, you can support the show by sharing it with a friend and giving them the gift of a happier, healthier life. You can also leave a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps boost the show on those platforms so more people can discover it and we can all grow together. I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday morning. And until then, stay happy, stay healthy.